Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank Retalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank their creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Ice Cube and the contract with Black America. Ice Cube and its contract with Black America, is he moving in the right direction? For those who don't or not may not be aware, Ice Cube Ice Cube is known for his contribution to the group, rap group N.W.A., the gangster reality rap, film production, acting, and now politics. Like many who have come before him, he is a symptom of what is wrong with many things in American society. The fact that Ice Cube has felt the need to address what ails Black America is indicative of Black America's political impotence. I heard some folks say Cube sold out because he met with some Trump supporters and to discuss what the Trump administration offered Black people. Fact is, Ice Cube isn't selling anything, and apparently he's not buying anything. He left the same way he came in. He had to sit down with some Trump folks. They shared some ideas about what the Trump administration offered Black people and what the contract with Black America wanted from the government, and he left. That's what I call communication. Cube is not collaborating against Black people. He is collaborating in the interest of Black people. He could say, I'm good, comfortable. I'm a multimillionaire. This is not my problem. Because his boy got it like that. Some say he got played because Trump supporters attempted to portray the meeting as Ice Cube signing off on the Trump administration's agenda, which was far from the truth, which we should be used to by now. Ice Cube didn't get played because he never signed up for the Trump team. Trump supporters played on Ice Cube having a sit down with them. In order to get played, you have to give or lose something and get nothing in return. Cube didn't lose anything by sharing his contract with Black America with the Trump supporters. Cube stated that he had already stated that he would talk to both sides, and he did. He pointed out, what are we going to do if Trump wins the election? Wait until there is a candidate we approve of to discuss our issues with America? We will have to talk with whoever, whomever, whatever in power, whether you like them, him, or not. I say, even Moses met with Pharaoh a couple of times, right? Rival nations meet. Rival gang members meet. Rival mob families meet. Rival tribes meet. Nothing wrong with what Cube did. Fact is, if the devil is at the head of the table, you will have to meet with him if you want a seat there. This is not high school where you tell your friends don't hang with somebody because you don't like them. Cube went on to say that he sees holes in both the Republican and Democrat platform when it comes specifically, that's the operative word here, specifically to Black Americans. Either they don't know or they don't care enough to implement laws that are specifically designed to empower the same people they wrote laws to specifically enslave and disenfranchise or exclude. Something is wrong with that picture. There is little to no accountability when it comes to crimes and atrocities against Black folk. Cube has been asking for help in developing the document since he presented his contract with Black America. In fact, he's already had some help, and he's still asking for help. Now, if black folk can stop infighting, nitpicking, complaining about each other, maybe Cube will receive the help needed to create a more inclusive and effective document. As Dr. Claude Anderson and Q stated, if you have no wealth and control over resources, you have no power. No one with any real actual power is going to respect you, care about you, because in the economic matrix, you are actually powerless. They don't have to listen to you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Or can you? This is all indicative of individuals and interest groups who have no connection, empathy, sympathy, obligation to other people, poor or powerless people, or black people. Here, we witness the love of money, wealth, and power that supersedes the love of mankind and the earth. Wealth that is not a common wealth, meaning exclusively for the common good of the people, but is a function of individual and private interest, will facilitate exploitation, suppression, disenfranchisement, exclusion, and degradation of the powerless ones. It will create, perpetuate, and maintain powerlessness in order to maintain and perpetuate wealth, power, and domination. Economics becomes a narcissistic, hungry beast of a slave master, gorging disproportionately on the carcass of the world. Respect doesn't cost anything. If you need money to be respected, you aren't being respected. Your economic power is being respected. What you can do in the economic matrix is being respected. A man who does not respect the value, respect and value the life of others is a threat to the life of those he does not respect and value. It is quite a sociopathic ideology. A sociopath is a person with a personality disorder manifesting in extreme antisocial attitudes and behavior and a lack of conscience. Racism only compounds the disrespect and disorder. A poor black person can become a billionaire, but he can't change who he is. Wealth does not translate into wisdom. Wealth, by any means necessary, void of moral, ethical standards and boundaries, will facilitate, perpetuate, and maintain corruption. Now, not to take away from what Ice Cube is doing, but I think black folks also need a contract with black folks. We must become us, we, together in order to form a more perfect union. Q has the guts to stand up for black people. Black people, or more black people, need to step up to the plate. Do the work at ground level and become a nation more than worthy worthy of the lives lost to empower us. Believe it. Be it. We are somebody each and every one of us, unique, valuable, and priceless. Do not be afraid to reach for the fruit of life. Do not be afraid to defend life, your life. In an interview, Q mentioned there have been something like 7,000 black folks elected or selected for political office or something like that. Anyway, with all this bad stuff going on, black folks in the mix, where are the whistleblowers in politics? Where are our guys that are really putting black folks down to lift them up out of this cesspool? Or do black politicians simply assimilate for safety or self-interest? I don't know, because I don't have boots on the ground in that situation. Do or did we have any soldiers in the lion's den? How many of those 7,000 had the disenfranchisement and exclusion of black folks in mind? How many of them was working for that? Well, we have a caller already. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Salam alaikum, Carlton.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You just raised a very interesting point there with the 7,000 and how many are appointed in a political party. And something came to mind for me is we don't support, well, I don't know of how we support the political party before election. Because to me, it seems like the only time we're involved in it is when it's time for an election. The only time we hear from certain people is when it's time for election. So probably part of our problem is because we're in the dark, and if we do have any allies in there, that they're not present constantly enough with the communities to be effective. Meaning that had we known certain things throughout the year, maybe we could change it by financially supporting those that are in there, just as the rest of the groups do. The reason why we have a lot of these problems is because you got these corporations that are lobbying. But who's lobbying for the black cause? Where's our money going at? Like you said, we're only waiting for the savior to come along. There's one person. We're going to put all our eggs in the basket on this one person every single time, but we're not following these people until they're in our face and present.
Well, that is the question. Who is there in the political process, you know, that's working for us, that's been, putting black people's disenfranchisement and exclusion, you know, to the forefront? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that the government has done something like that. Put the exclusion or disenfranchisement of a group of people into legislation as to what they're going to do about it, whatever they're going to do about it. You know, so how many, you know, how many, 7,000, that's a lot of folk, you know what I'm saying? You know, we know Ron Brown, it got ended up in a plane crash with a bullet hole in the back of his head, right? You know, Reverend Gray mysteriously left, you know, the political arena, right?
Right.
So, you know, what's going on at Ice Cube, you know, who's not a politician is stepping up to this plate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's moving in the right direction, willing to come to the table with the leaders of this nation, whether they are Republican, Democrat, light, racist, or not. He's exploring his options, the options. There's nothing wrong with that. So I don't understand why people are trying to knock Ice Cube from meeting with the people from the Trump team. That didn't make sense to me. What are you going to do? The dude is the president, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he is the president, and he might win. I mean, the fact that he won the first time is indication enough to me that he could win secondly. Because if you thought that he shouldn't have won the first time and he did, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They can repeat that. You know what I'm saying? That can be repeated easily. Ain't nothing hard about that. He didn't win the popular vote, right?
Right.
Right. So that's easy to repeat.
What I find this to be kind of comical, but very serious, is that we have black folks out here wanting to have Ice Cube held accountable for his actions, but they don't want to make those who should be accountable for our well-being, because they feel as though they're voting on a political party. And that doesn't make any sense to me, because Ice Cube is not running for president. He's basically saying, what we going to get for our vote, and here's some things that either party need to look at. So I don't understand why other people are bellyaching, because that's the only way you're going to get anything done. Like you said, you're going to have to sit down and talk to someone. A vote does not make things happen for us. What's going to make things happen for us is people got to be held accountable for that purpose that we're placing on them. And we did the same with Obama. We placed nothing on him, so therefore he gave nothing. And no one's getting ready to him after the point. You know, it's like after the point, we're all running around talking about, oh, you know, Obama, he didn't do this for black folks. And this. Okay, so now if we know that happened for 8 years, weren't we doing something? And one person that said, hey, we can't do this again, now everyone wants to ridicule him. Because a party set to sit down and listen to him. And here's the other thing about that. We already know that Trump is a liar. So anything after sitting down with him could become a lie. So why even get upset about Ice Cube sitting down? Because evidently, he's known to lie. His party, his campaign group is known to switch. Everything is being said, everything is being done. In fact, not just him. Both parties have done that.
Hey, you said it. No joke. Oh, we have another call. Let me let this. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Q?
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Pete.
Good evening.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have any problems with Ice Cube talking to that dude. I think that, like you said, he's the president. So whoever's in charge, you got to talk to whoever's in charge. I was thinking that maybe he could have waited until after the election to talk to him. But I don't think it's a big deal that he talked to him, being that he is the president.
All right. Yeah, I don't see the big deal either.
That's a good point. I think part of the purpose of talking even before the election is to get the support that maybe the people wake up and say, hey, you know what? That's right. Because he was trying to get the numbers up, and
right.
People wasn't jumping on. So maybe I'll get the numbers by just going out there and hey. But instead, people are doing the opposite. Instead of saying, you know what? We need to jump on this now, because I think that after the election, it's going to be hard to get anything done because all the policies and whatever they want to get done is already in place. Some
right.
things are in place before they even get into office.
Right. And like you said, in terms of votes, this is a good time to get them. You want some black votes? I'm Ice Cube. You know what I'm saying? I got a certain amount of people that's looking to see what I'm going to say about this situation. You know what I'm saying? I could influence
right.
the votes. So, you know, so what's up? What you got? Well, they don't have nothing. They got the same thing they had last year this time, and the year before that, and the year before this, that, and that. That's what they got. You know, it's a struggle standing up for black folks in America. You can ask the families of Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Fred Hampton, and more. Right? I mean, it's always one person I know who developed a political agenda for black people is Dr. Claude Anderson. You know, so and I thought that was, I was reading about him, and very interesting. You know, he was saying that the 13th and 14th Amendment and the Civil Rights laws were written strictly for black people, and they got hijacked. They weren't written for handicapped people, women, the LGBTQ, Asians, Arabs, or Hispanics, and to give these people benefits over black folk. He said it's unconstitutional and illegal. So, you know, legislation have been written for foreign nations in this country. Like Israel, they receive, from one source said, $3.8 billion in military aid and $8 billion in loans, right? That's American taxpayer dollars. That's black folks pay taxes, am I right? Let me see. The U.S. invested $2.2 billion in rebuilding Japan, right, after World War II. Mm-hmm. And it said that they spend $20 billion a year in federal support for American Indians. That's a lot of money. And, I mean, that's nothing for almost bringing a group of people to extermination. So black people are the people. American Indians are the people they took the land from, right? But black people are the people they took. They took advantage of. They took to the trees. They took wives. They took children. They took property. They took limbs. They took innocence, took hope. Well, you get my point. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, they took land from these people. They took their lives, but they took the actual people when you start looking at black folks. Anyway, Mr. Anderson said that, he is a black empowerment leader that focuses on economic development. Currently, he's the head of the Harvest Institute, a black think tank focusing on reparations to descendants of slave-owned natives. His primary goals are to force the government to give monetary reparations to black people. Okay? Mm-hmm. He said the U.S. Constitution is an affirmative action plan for white folks. You know what I'm saying? It says that it's designed to empower them by granting them control over land and resources, and it specifically prohibits blacks from owning and controlling much of anything of value. Blacks were enslaved while whites received land and the wealth in the land upon arrival. So white people, they got the land, and you got that land, you got oil, you got whatever, you got lumber, you got whatever. So black people weren't coming here getting that. Black people were coming here getting that funny thing that they wear around the neck with the bells on it, some strange bracelets, and some ankle bracelets. That's what they would get out, you know. So he said the problem, the plight of black people is caused by systemic economic disenfranchisement. The government is currently on a path to have black people locked in box as a permanent, obsolete working class. The government is now moving power into the hands of some companies through privatization, right? He said redistribution of authority to the private sector will remove the federal government as an institution strong enough for black people to appeal to or receive rights. His research also showed that blacks had to build a vertically integrated economy by the year 2013. Where we at, y'all? That's 7 years ago, right? That's really 8 years ago. We're coming up on the one, right? You know. So we have it, right? Dr. Anderson wrote many of the original affirmative action laws as a part of the Jimmy Carter, the peanut man, right, administration, right? Since inception, he said, affirmative action has grown to include more people. That was a visually off exclusively and specifically written for black folks, but it's been hijacked, right? Right? Now it includes all women. They get 70% of the affirmative action jobs, and Hispanics get 20%, and the blacks receive 1% of the benefit from the affirmative action. Anderson hopes that the speedy end to the affirmative action. The influx of immigrants has also caused relative pay between whites and blacks to stay at 54%. Jobs can be given to immigrants to fill all quotas and to the disenfranchisement of blacks. All right? So he also said that Trump has done nothing for blacks, and he's received an increase in the black vote. Democrats have religiously been getting the black vote. They have done nothing. Republican Party has done nothing for blacks outside of from the time period from 1865 to 1875. He said, we have to own and control resources, and economics is the key to rights and privileges in this country. Why? This is a capitalist system we in, right? He said, blacks own and control one half of 1% of anything of value in 1860. That's in 1860. They own and control one half of 1%. And still this day, blacks own and control one half of 1% of anything of value. That is that's a hell of a feat for racist America. How you do that? How that happen? That's not by coincidence, you know. And you know, I'm saying it's ironic that America has historically created laws that are designed to specifically and exclusively disenfranchise blacks, oppress, exclude, castrate them economically, politically, socially, and spiritually. Yet, America does not see fit to pass laws that are specific, exclusive to black folks that will benefit them. Something's wrong with that picture. Ice Cube is on the right track. I heard Vice President candidate Kamala Harris blacks will disproportionately benefit from some laws, right? When they were talking about, you know, this whole thing about creating things specific to black folks. I heard her say she was not going to make any laws specifically for black people. Yet, it has been reported that she plans to implement a law for Indian people. You know, I didn't hear that. I just heard that on a presentation. I couldn't see what the person was saying, presenting. But anyway, I hope that is a vicious rumor, because it is blatant and disrespectful to black folks, the same black folks she claims to be a part of. The owning and controlling of one half or 1% of anything of value standard means no matter who black Americans help put in office, nothing of value that matters is going to change for black folks past one half of 1%. That goes for your black council persons, congressmen, senators, mayors, governors, presidents, and even a black president. I guess it's true. Money talks and that other, you know, stuff walks in this high stakes crap game of economics. Yet, they have passed legislation for the LGBTQ people, illegal immigrants, or non-citizens. To the credit of the LGBTQ community, they have viciously lobbied and fought to get laws passed in their interest. Obama never passed laws specifically for black people, and no one held his presidency, like you said, hostage, depending on what laws he specifically would create to address the disenfranchisement of blacks in America. People came out of the in record numbers to get Obama in the front door of the White House 2 times, and still no legislation. His post-presidency took a hit, though. Then again, I could have missed the whole political rant about him, because I'm not really into politics like that. Sure, we question his presence in the White House now, but if we could hold him to the same standard and expectation we are attempting to hold Trump and Biden, he would not have been elected on the black vote. he definitely would not have made the second term on the black vote. What y'all think about that?
Well, I agree with that. The thing that came to mind on another note is, let's say 1950, 60, even 70. Black folks had a particular value to them, not only just being a workforce and coming from free labor, it was some value. So politically, yeah, they would want to listen to some things that we might wanted to bring to the table, because our withdrawal meant that in those early stages of developing the country, they would lose labor and people. So my thing now is, what is our value? What do we bring to the table in need? Because apparently the way it looks to me, hey, we don't need black folks no more. We don't need y'all. We just need y'all to be incarcerated, and we need y'all to spend your money and give it to us. And,
vote.
You know,
they need vote.
Huh?
They need vote.
Right. And if they need the votes, which I really don't think they need to vote, because like you said, we only 13%. I don't think they really need the vote. I think they need us in another manner. And I think they need us as the scapegoat to hide what they're actually doing to other people who think that they're inclusive and a part of the plan. We need to be on the bottom. They need to be. We need to be the bottom people. We need to be the scapegoat. We need to be the fingers to point at to hide the fact that there's a lot more poor white folks out there, uneducated white folks, and a lot of them that have guns. So they need to appease those people to keep them from starting another civil war, which they can't afford. So we don't have any value. So I think for black folks, we need to find out what our value is. What are we bringing to the table, not just for white America, but for ourselves? What type of business are we starting? What are our plans? What are our plans for the future, for our children? How do we get to sit at the table and begin to eat? And I see that through the money that we spend on frivolous junk that don't add up to anything. So collectively, we need to come together. We need to put aside all the little pet peeves that we have as far as religion and, you know, gender and all those things. The first thing we need to focus on is that we're black and that we're our target. And we spend a lot of money, and if we put that money and that energy in the right places and collectively, then we can also come to the table and force some things to happen. But if we're not going to do that, then we need to shut them down financially, at least do that. At least come together and say, hey, you know what? I'm not buying this. I'm not spending this. I'm not doing that. Cut down. Cut them down.
Okay, so we need to put away our childish ways, stop throwing money out the window, put it in the basket.
That's correct.
And he said to focus. Everybody focus on a particular thing to benefit us.
I got
That's
this
true.
Idea that we don't know that we're in a war, and we've been at war for a very long time. We're too comfortable in our condition. We become very comfortable. Not everybody. I ain't going to say all of us, but a lot have become very comfortable. And as far as the education thing, we're not being educated on politics. Kids are going to school. They're coming out. They ain't worrying about no current events, and they're waiting to get to college. This is something we can't wait to get to college. This is something we need to talk about every day. Churches need to talk about this. The mosque needs to talk about this. We
That's
at the
right.
bottom. Every other group of people out there is talking. The Koreans can come together, and they're going to get Chinatown. Chinese going to get together. They're going to get their businesses. The Indians come over here, and they will get hotels and 7-Elevens. We've been right here. It's not like we can't get it. It's not like we can't get it. They talk about just in the hair product alone, trillions of dollars are spent. No, our focus is not on coming together. And only 13%, which is us, we influence so much from products, advertisement, labor. They know this. Just imagine. if we did come together. They're fighting. It's a war. And they're making sure that we lose.
Sounds like a plan. And we're not really doing all, some of us are aiding in that process, though.
Right.
And not just on the ground level, because we like to look at all the brothers running around neighborhood shooting, you know, clocking and, or what do they call it, trapping and all that stuff. As we scapegoat this sometimes, but corruption has no boundaries. You know, mm-hmm. You can scapegoat the brothers on the street all you want, but corruption has no boundaries. Know that.
Right.
There's many ways of selling out.
You know, something came to mind about Ice Cube, too. I was just thinking. You don't hear a lot about Ice Cube family as far as wealth and business. So to me, it kind of made me think the money that he has, he's basically supporting probably the majority of his family and friends. And he's probably thinking, wow, hold on. How come they can't get a part of this wealth? Everybody else has it. But when it comes to us, we're not hearing that. Whether it's Michael Jordan, well, I don't hear about his kids or his family members opening up a store and empowering black folks. You know, we sell sneakers over here. You can buy these sneakers from us or whatever the case may be. I know he's a part of the prison system. But I've noticed that a lot of these people who have some form of wealth is not distributed, you know, by them. And I'm not saying, you know, some people haven't started businesses. Some people have. But right. We're not seeing that. I'm not seeing that generational, you know, pass down.
I don't know. I don't know if it's possible for us to see everything that someone's doing. Because some of them people might have done something we don't know about it. So I don't know what Michael Jordan doing with his money. So I can't say, like I say, I don't have boots on the ground. So I don't know about Michael Jordan. You know,
I agree
really
with that. It takes some research. It'll take some real research on those people to figure out where they're doing, what they're doing with their money. Because some people are doing things and you just don't know about it.
Right.
Somebody's complaining about somebody building schools overseas, and then kind of find out they're doing the same thing over here. They not necessarily building school, but supporting school, black schools here. So it's like, you know,
well,
you don't really know what people are doing.
Yeah, I agree with both of y'all. I think what I really was trying to say, though, is that if I was thinking like Ice Cube, how long can what he has sustain the people and the things that he's doing? And he's taking a big chance by coming out like that because they attack a lot of people. You know, all the next thing you know, you don't have your money no more, whether it be Prince, Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, and a whole list of other people. I just found out that they also starting to attack Oprah Winfrey for some of the things that she said and, you know, what she stands for, whatever. But what I'm saying is this, is I understand where Ice Cube is coming from. He's saying, yo, we all need to have an opportunity at this. Now, on the other end, you got those black folks who have money, and they're only worried about their money. They're not worried about outside people. They're just worrying about them.
Right.
And I think that's a big problem, too. I'm not saying I don't think that they should invest all their money and lose it because, shoot, we had people that didn't even have any money and invested their lives and look at what's going on now. Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and a whole bunch of other people that lost their lives
fighting for our future
would come back right now and they'd be like, you know what? I'm not doing it. But I can't say nothing bad about Q because when he loses it all the people that's out here bellyaching, they ain't going to go to his rescue and try to help him retrieve or get back to the status or a place he needs to be. But yet and still, he's willing to risk that because he's saying, hey, listen, this is what we all need, and we need to make them be accountable for that, and we need to figure out how we can get it done.
Right.
But I don't understand all these black folks out here, especially black folks, that should be speaking anything ill on anybody that's trying to do anything.
That's right.
And I don't understand that. That's been going on for too many years. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, because the man, he looking out for the cookout. You know, he's trying to, he, I mean, he's a multimillionaire. He don't have to do nothing. He's good. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's in that $400,000 a year bracket where we get that tax that Biden's going to hit them with or not. Maybe he is. If he is, you know, he don't got to stand up for black folks. He said he can say, I'm going with Trump because Trump will save me some money. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody that's making over $400,000 a year, Trump can catch you on
exactly
that note.
That's exactly what 50 Cent said. He said, I don't care about any. I'm worried about my money.
Oh, 50, yeah, 50 Pence. They call him 50 Pence, right? Oh, he said he's going
right.
for Trump because Trump is saving his money, right?
Saving his money.
That's capitalism.
And, in some ways, he got a point there, too, because he's saying, listen, I done been on the streets. I know how we think. I know what we going to do. I done seen the Million Man March and what came of it. At the end of the day, you're going to need some money. And you don't need to create no more enemies. I think we need to get away from it all and secretly do something and have some power and then come to the table. But as long as they know what we're coming with, they know you don't have no real power. Where's your money? So maybe this is just a thought. Maybe instead of being envious and angry at the people that's coming here, that's in our communities, maybe we need to get alliance with them. These little Chinese stores come in, boom. Hey, how y'all, listen, we're going to let you in this neighborhood, but we want to open up one too.
Now, we just open our own. We don't need them. We don't need them to open up our own stuff, man. We don't need them.
I ain't saying open up our own stores, but I'm saying what they have is they have a resource of how to get it. When we get ready to go do it, it's going to be 10 times harder. I know this for a fact. You want to open up a restaurant, by the time you want to sell what they sell, you're going to be paying 10 times more to get it. You want to sell shrimp? Okay, they can get a pound of shrimp for $2 and something. It's going to be 10 something for you.
Oh, you're saying use the resources they have that we don't have.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that'll work. If you don't have something, you got to go to whoever has it to get what you want.
Right.
So, you know, like you said, there are many things we need to do as a people. But I don't think we should be waiting on Ice Cube to come through with this contract with Black America or the people that support him to come through with that, because that might not come through. You know what I'm saying? It's a noble thing for him to do. But I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Makes me wonder what's all this about? You know, that what is happening that nobody, right? Nobody that's in power is willing to plant a seed of empowerment for, not to mention, go out on a limb for black folks to reverse some of the systemic damage perpetrated on blacks by white America. Maybe. This is a part of the reason Ice Cube felt black people needed a contract with America. Good luck with that. You know, it's funny. There are laws against murdering people in America, yet police who murder appear almost untouchable. Corporations have their way with so-called legislators, giving the American people an overdose of toxins in the name of economics and profit. And Ice Cube is taking them on. It is worse than your David and Goliath scenario. At least David had a slingshot. What Cube going in there with a list of, you know, the man. I admire his dedication and perseverance and call for black unity and empowerment. You know what I'm saying? I want to give Cube two thumbs up. If I had four hands, it would be four thumbs. You know, but man, that's a hell of of a task that he's approaching, and him and the people who support him are approaching, and I can't wait to see how that comes out.
The only thing that comes to mind for me is at the end of the day, when this is said and done, election's over, what are we going to do? What are we going to have? If we're right back where we were, we need to figure that out. I'm not even really concerned about any political party or white folks. I'm 57 years old. I think I got enough history to know how they operate, and that is to keep me from becoming whatever I need to become. I think we need to focus on ourselves individually, collectively, find out what our worth is, find out what we can do for ourselves, and just walk away from everything else and let them shine or not shine, because they're gonna show who they are. They want to destroy the planet. They want to destroy wildlife and air and water and food. Instead of trying to be inclusive in that, how about we just turn our backs and do the opposite? It's almost sort of like what that Bible is saying. You know, be ye separate. You in it? But set yourself aside. We need to set ourselves aside. We need to set ourselves aside from all the corrupt things that's going on. Because as long as we're trying to be a part of it, we can't be seen. So we need to come out of this. We need to get ourselves together.
Well, how do we get power? Because as Mr. Anderson said, you have no economic power. You're not moving to anything, coming to the table with one half or 1% of the wealth. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody's going to do a damn thing for you because you have nothing. You are nothing.
That's what they say, but the history proves something totally different. We are something. We are their wealth. We have always been their wealth. Our bodies has been their wealth. Right now in the prison system, the United States is surviving off of the prison.
But we aren't.
Release the prison.
We aren't, though.
Huh?
Black folks aren't.
Right, but they are. So if we
That's not helping us, bro.
If we keep ourselves out of the prison, right, their system falls. Financially, they fall. If we stop spending the trillions of dollars that's spent between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that puts a dent. They fall. It falls. We're the biggest consumers. It's not even about us being labor. It's labor for the prison system, but the rest of us out here is consumers. We're consuming.
Yeah, you know, but the economics, this is an economic capitalistic society we live in. If you don't have economics, you're not going to eat. You're not going to be warm in the winter. You're not going to be able to come out of the weather. You're not going to be able to take care of your children. There's a whole lot of things you're not going to be able to do. So you have to have money. You have to have power. You have to have something to bargain with. So that's what Mr. Anderson is saying. Without these things, we're going to be, we remain the same as we were back in the 1800s with that one half or 1%. Because the people who are in power are going to impact on your life, whether you like crawl up under a rock or not. You can crawl under the rock, you can stand on top of it. What's going to happen is going to happen, especially if you have no power, nothing to bring to the table. You can't even have an army without money. It takes money to fund a war.
I agree with all of that. And what I'm looking at and the way I'm saying this is that we'll have the money because we'll withdraw ourselves from all the addictions and all the things that we're spending money on that is not helping our cause. Even if it means buying things from overseas from somewhere else.
Right. I'm not thinking you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that we only control, have power, right? One half of 1% of the wealth of anything that's of value. That's what Mr. Anderson is saying. That's what we have of anything that's of value. You know what I'm saying? That's the wealth the black people control. That's good what you're saying. Put your money to good use, but we need more than that. We have to create an economy that supports black folk.
Right. I understand it, and I'm with that. What I'm saying is, how about we try this? How about we do that with someplace other than here?
Okay. It takes money to do that.
What if black folks decide, you know what, I'm not buying nothing here, we're going to deal with China. We know what we want. You know what we need. We're going to deal with
China.
Takes
money. Takes money, brother.
But
it takes money.
We have the money. It's the same. We have the money. It's the same money that is being spent every year, trillions of dollars. The problem is,
I hear you,
we're
bro.
We're giving it right back to the same people that we need to operate against. It's going right back into their hands. So if we're going to spend trillions of dollars, and India's on the rise, how about we made alliance with India? We got people like, you know what? India had this product over here. We need to find people that value us. These people don't value us. But other people elsewhere who do have finance will start to see the value. Because they
all
want that.
I hear you. And on that note, we're going to be closing tonight because we only on for the hour tonight. You know, and I got what you're saying.
Wow.
Save your money. Make your money work for you. All right? Okay, but that's a...
Correct.
That's a... That's after you create the us, the we thing. We're not there yet, right? So,
I agree.
You know, so we gotta. That's a good plan right there. So I want to thank you guys for calling in. Anybody who's listening in tonight, I want to thank you for listening in. And I want to tell everybody, stay tuned next week for Provocative Thought. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and all callers and listeners again, and the creator. Thank you. And I see you guys next week.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.